Welcome to Fuck Your Disorder. My name is Amanda Hess. I am a certified life coach. And when I decided to ditch my disorder and love myself instead, I finally started enjoying my life. It turns out love fixes a lot more problems than hate. You can't hate yourself better because the truth is you are already perfect. Hello, and welcome to episode number 144. We are doing Reinvention Part 2. So if you missed it, there is Reinvention Part 1. And I walked you through a whole bunch of exercises with respect to finding where you're at right now and finding in the belief, finding the way to where you want to be, finding the belief in yourself to be able to potentially move into that place. Today, what I really want to focus on is I want to focus on your future self. I want to focus on the person that you're becoming. I think a lot of times when we think about reinvention, we think about what we do, but we don't think a lot about who we are. And so for today, I think the most beneficial way to look at this is to look at it from the standpoint of, who do I want to be? Now, when we think like that, it can get difficult, right? Because it can be hard to think in such an abstract term, right? That's so big. Who do I want to be? I mean, it's sort of like when we ask our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? I think it's fascinating that the answer that's always expected is like what they're going to do. What are they going to have for a job, right? Are they going to get married? Are they going to have kids? Like, are they going to live in the city that they live in? And yes, those are all parts of our life. But when I think about true reinvention, what I think can be so powerful is looking at who do I want to be? And we don't want to think about this in abstract terms. We want to think about this in very real and very specific ways. And here's why. This is going to change and this is going to evolve over the entire course of your life. This is something that you will always be looking at, working on, thinking about. And when a client or another woman comes to me and tells me, I don't know what I want, I don't know what I need, but I feel unfulfilled, I feel stuck, I feel like I can't figure out what the hell is wrong. Many times it's because we are so hyper-focused on what we're doing instead of looking at who we're becoming. So especially for those women that are leaders, right? That are CEOs, that are presidents, that are vice presidents, that are CFOs, that are COOs, that are entrepreneurs, that are elevating themselves to this place of leadership in the world, that also experience neurodivergence, right? That also experience things with their brain that are different than what they see in especially their male counterparts. I think that we can get very bogged down in the specifics. We can get very bogged down in what people are doing for us, what people are doing to us, the opportunities that are being presented to us, how people are treating us. We get very focused, hyper-focused on those things. And then we also get very hyper-focused on improving ourselves, making ourselves better so that we can have the thing that we so desire. So making sure that we lose the weight so that we can like our body and feel comfortable with our appearance. Okay. Getting the job that you want to have, whatever that job might be it that you want to be elevated into a leadership position, or you're already a leader and you want to expand that leadership, you want to increase it, or you simply want to feel like the leader that you are. No matter what you're experiencing in those places, it's really important to understand that when we focus, hyper-focus on the result that we're not getting or the result that we want or the way that it's not coming together for us, it makes us stuck. What actually makes us stuck is that hyper-focus. And a lot of the times, I do think that hyper-focus is a stress response It is actually something that's triggered by past trauma, that's triggered by the patriarchal society that we live in, that's triggered by multiple things that we don't sometimes have a really big control over, right? I know that I've talked before in this episode that talked about that the fabric of us is made up of multiple different factors. And the patriarchal society that we live in is infused in our brains. It's infused. It's in so many places. We couldn't pick it apart if we wanted to, because it's not just social media, right? It's also the way that our parents talked and the way that their parents talked. It's also the way our relatives, our aunts and uncles and cousins and all of those people saw and received the world and participated in the world. It's in our schools. It's in our teachers. It's in our sports teams. It's at the grocery store. It's in traffic. Like, it's everywhere. Okay. And then on top of that, you have that lens with which you view the things that have happened to you, the trauma that you've been through, the things that you have endured, the really hard shit that you go through in your life. And then we come to a point where we become this woman who has achieved, right? We've achieved some of these things. Some of us are married. Some of us have children. Some of us have the career that we've always dreamed about, or we're close. We have moved our way through leadership in the world to a place where we know that this isn't where we want to stay. And also, a lot of the times we feel like we're an imposter inside of that space. And why I bring this up when it comes to reinvention is that ultimately we've got to start somewhere, which is why we did what we did in the first episode. But then also we want to start fleshing out who we are becoming. It is such an important piece of reinvention. And, you know, I always think that weight loss is the perfect way to talk about this, because I was just coaching a client and we were talking about weight loss and we were talking about why it's so important to her and the struggle that she's having with herself, right? The struggle that she's having with feeling this like innate desire to be smaller and to eat clean and to work out and get the body that she really thinks she wants. And she's fighting that battle with herself because she knows as well, she knows logically that she won't be happier at that smaller size. She recognizes that the happiness that comes with being a smaller size is fleeting. It doesn't last. It goes away. It's like eating the ice cream, just kind of a funny analogy in this way. But like, think about that, right? Eating the ice cream tastes good in the moment, but then it's what happens after. Like, you don't keep that happiness with you forever. And that's because you losing the weight or you eating the ice cream or you getting the promotion or you creating X amount of dollars in your business, that is not going to change who you are, because you're still you. When I talk about changing who you are, reinventing who you are, I want to preface it with the understanding that I'm not talking about changing you, like changing your values necessarily, right? Or changing the way that you are as a person just now as it is. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So I don't want you to hear this podcast and think, oh, well, Amanda says I have to change who I am. Not what I'm saying. What I do want is I want for you to get the results that you so desperately want and also be able to hold on to that and keep it. So when we talk about weight loss, a lot of times what clients will say to me, and I've even said this to myself, is, well, I've done it before. And that's a lie. And here's why it's a lie, okay? It's a lie that you did it before if you lost the weight and then the weight came back on. It didn't work. And why it didn't work is because it wasn't actually something that was sustainable for you, because who you are, that didn't work for you. So it did not work. And we want to notice the lie. And we tell ourselves lies a lot of the time without knowing that that's what we're doing, not realizing, because we believe our thoughts. We believe everything that our brain says. And that's why I think coaching is so powerful, because when you coach, you can start separating those lies. And I do think sometimes we're in a big rush to get those separated and get rid of them. And I want to remind you that this is actually just the work of being human. So I think that many of us believe that there's a magical destination that we get to where we no longer need to have an awareness and an understanding of the fact that some of the thoughts that we think are not serving us and aren't creating the results that we want in our life. When you accept that this is the process, this is the journey of being human, I think that it gives you the opportunity to relax and to not be in such a rush and to recognize that you're never going to get to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because it's not ever been about that. Instead, it's about embracing the journey of being you. So when I talk about reinvention and I talk about the who, there's a couple of places where we can go. So I want you to think about a result that you deeply want. It could be to be a certain weight. It could be to make a certain amount of money. It could be to have a specific relationship. It could be to create the business of your dreams, to help X amount of people. It could be to be whatever, okay, to live in a certain place, to only work so many hours. And I want you to consider, I want you to really even close your eyes if you're not driving, right? Close your eyes and picture this. Picture yourself at that place. And what I want to know is, what is different about you in that place? What has changed? What about you is not what it is right now? What do you think there that you don't think now? What are emotions that you experience there that you don't experience here? What are your relationships like? What is your relationship with you like? How do you talk to yourself? How do you validate yourself? How do you approve of yourself? How do you allow yourself to rest? How do you allow yourself to be human? These questions, I really do invite you to write them down, because the impact that they will have on you is actually enormous. When you start asking yourself questions about who you're becoming, you start to see where there are places where you could shift right now. And you'll also see the lies. You'll see the lies in that, oh, I would be happy if I weighed 140 pounds. I would be happy if I had the job that I liked. I wouldn't be so stressed out. I wouldn't be losing it on my kids. I wouldn't be just so frustrated all the time. I wouldn't have no energy for the things I actually want to do. That's what I hear a lot of the time. And that's such a great place to look, okay? Because that's the person you want to be. You want to be the person that's not so stressed out. You want to be the person that isn't losing it on your kids. You want to be the person that, you know, loves their life, loves themselves, loves looking at themselves in a mirror, okay? That's the who. And then what you get to do is you get to start deciding, what pieces of that can I take and use right now? How do I not be so stressed out at work? Now, for some of you, what might come up is, if I quit my job, I wouldn't be so stressed out, right? If I didn't work here, I wouldn't be stressed out. That might be true. One thing I want to offer is, I want to ask you, do you feel stressed though in other areas of your life? And it's been my experience through coaching and through my own experience of my own life that the answer is yes. Usually when I'm experiencing stress in one place, I'm experiencing stress in all places. So I'm not just experiencing it at work, I'm experiencing it at home. I'm experiencing stress in my relationship with my husband. I'm experiencing stress in relationship with my children. I'm experiencing stress when it comes to the housework. I'm experiencing stress because the reality is the stress comes from me. And if I don't want to be stressed out, then I need to get to work on creating the tools that I need to ensure that I have the ability to cope with stress. Because also, real talk right now, stress is a part of life. Nobody walks through life with no stress unless you're a monk. And if you're a monk, you're in a monastery where it's silent all the time and you've got no stimulation. That's the whole point, that you just have to be alone with your brain. So when you think about the who, when you think about reinventing yourself into a new version of yourself, if you want that version of yourself to not be stressed out, then what we need to look at is how do we develop a better relationship with stress? I find that to be a more effective question than how do I get rid of the stress? Because as we've discovered, that's not actually possible, right? So how do I have a better relationship with stress? And I'll give you the Coles notes here on this podcast. But what I want to offer you is if this is something that is a big thing for you, I highly recommend coaching. It can change everything and it will impact other areas in your life in a way that you will not be able to even describe, except that it's so much better. However, when we're talking about, you know, decreasing, or actually let's say not say decreasing stress, having a better relationship with stress, then we want to look at a couple of things. How am I taking care of my nervous system? So if you have listened to this podcast for any length of time, I have episodes on this and I'll link them up in the show notes for you because I don't know them off the top of my head right now. But your nervous system, it's important to do two things when it comes to handling your nervous system. Okay. So when we feel stress, it triggers our amygdala. It causes us to pump out epinephrine or adrenaline, right? And that causes us to be on high alert. We're looking for all the danger. We run everything in our life through a negative lens, through a negative bias. And then what actually ends up happening in this particular situation is the stress increases and increases and increases and increases until, if you're anything like me, you find yourself having panic attacks when like you're driving your kid to school. Okay. That's what happened to me. And that's what's happened to a lot of my clients too. So what I think can be very effective is first of all, having some 911 procedures for when you start feeling a lot of anxiety, which in many cases is just allowing, just going with the anxiety, not from the standpoint of letting your brain drop off the cliff, more so from like just noticing the anxiety in your body, recognizing that it's going to be hard for you to do all the things today, feeling this level of anxiety and giving yourself permission to do what you need to do to take care of yourself today, because it's not always going to be like this. Then there's the preventative part of self-care, right? There is the grounding exercises that you're doing on a daily basis. There is gratitude. There is really ensuring that you're participating in things that are just for you. Tapping into your senses, tapping into your breathing, doing hardcore cardio. All of these things matter. When we start doing that with our stress, then we can become the person that has more capacity for stress, the person that has a better relationship with stress. Do you see what I'm saying? And then the reason why I want to share this with you in particular, and I want to take you down this entire line so that you go from the beginning to the end, is that when you become that person that has a better relationship with stress, it will allow you to make more logical decisions in your life. You will be able to have more perspective. You will be able to back away and you will be able to see what is actually happening here. You will have much more capacity for possibility. And possibility is incredibly important when it comes to reinvention. So, I really did just go all the way in on stress here, right? But I want you to consider the other traits and qualities of yourself that would be present in this future state. You know, is that person unconditionally loving of herself and others? How do you make sure you're doing that today? What would be required for you to unconditionally love yourself? What would be required for you to unconditionally love your partner? What would be required for you to unconditionally love your kids? Now, what I see is I see a lot of people trying to skate over this. Well, I do love my kids. Of course I love my kids. Everybody loves their kids. Listen, of course you love your kids. Okay. I love my kids too, except when I hate them. But okay. It's true. Sometimes we hate them. It's okay. But it's not about always loving your kids. I mean, at our core, yes, but unconditional love, showing up in a way that's unconditionally loving, even when your kid is being a complete a-hole, that's a different thing, right? Because our emotions get triggered, because our trauma gets triggered, we become deregulated. And so if I want to be unconditionally loving, let's say my goal is to have this unconditionally loving relationship with my partner, then the goal is for me to be unconditionally loving of myself and my partner. And that's the person I'm becoming. So I don't need my partner to be different to have that. I need to simply morph into that version of me. I need to hold up this sort of goal of unconditional love and start developing a relationship with unconditional love. Have a better relationship with unconditional love and understand that there's no right way to do it and there's no wrong way to do it. It's just doing it. The doing of it, of unconditionally loving, is the thing. And you're not going to do it all the time. And it's not a problem because, once again, we shouldn't always love anybody. I don't believe that, by the way. I don't think you should always love somebody. There's going to be things about people that we're not going to love, and that is okay. But then we can direct our brain to unconditional love. If we see that, we are safe even inside of that, because unconditional love isn't an action. Unconditional love is a feeling, which is driven by what we think about ourselves and what we think about our partner and what we think about other people, right? Or maybe your pet. So when you look at it in that way, you get to see that unconditional love can be potentially punishing your child. Unconditional love can be having a boundary for a parent, right? Unconditional love, the action can be the same where you're still experiencing unconditional love. Now, why I'm speaking about this in terms of reinvention is I want you to see, like, if you can connect the dots from part one, now bringing us to part two, what we're really doing is we are taking stock of where we're at, taking stock of what we would like to do and where we would like to go. And now we're digging into the who of that. When you decide you want to do something in your life, there is a question that you should always ask yourself. Why do I want that? And what can be super, super effective is to use a technique that I developed as a child, which is to ask why an incessant amount. Even if you don't journal, I recommend just putting a pen to paper and writing down that thing you think that you desperately want. Is it weighing a certain amount? Is it having the certain relationship? Is it having the certain job? Is it being famous? Is it being recognized? Is it just being seen? Okay. And then ask yourself why. And then ask yourself why again. And then ask yourself why again. And what it's going to do is it's going to dig through the layers of all of the armor that you've sort of placed around yourself in adulthood. And it's going to get you down to the heart of the issue. And when you do that, that is when you can start noticing how there's stuff there that you can take care of right now. You know, if you think about money, let's say I say I want to make, I don't know, $500,000 in a year. Okay. And then I ask myself why. Well, because I want to be able to comfortably afford my house and our vehicles and have a comfortable life for our family, be able to go on vacations and do all of these things. Why? Why do I want to do that? Well, because I want my life to be filled with enjoyable things. I want to be able to ensure that my kids get to have really fun experiences. I want to make sure that I don't feel anxious all the time about money. I want to be able to simply just feel relaxed and at peace during my day. Why do I want that? Well, I want that because it's hard to not feel peace. It's very uncomfortable to feel anxious and stressed and worried. I want that because I want to have a good relationship with my kids, and I want them to look back on their childhood and to have a really good, solid experience and to think that they got to do all the things and that they got to have all the fun and that their parents gave them every opportunity, and that is what I want. And then I ask myself, why? Again, like, why do I want that? Well, because I want my kids to love me, right? That's why I want my kids to have these experiences. I want my kids to succeed. I want my kids to have fun. I want my kids to not experience negative emotion. Do you see where I'm going with this? What it allows you to see is that at the heart is always feelings. At the heart of all of this is how we feel. And what we're always doing, no matter what we do in our life, is chasing a feeling. Now, I'm not saying that you should go and meditate and get in the Zen mode and just feel that thing. I just think it's important to understand the feelings that we're trying to create so that we can be very intentional about how we create them. When we do that, when we start creating the feeling in advance of getting the thing, sometimes we don't even want the thing. That's one thing. And also, it allows you to create positive emotion on demand. And I think that one of the most empowered things that we can have as neurodivergent leaders, neurodivergent women, is that ability to connect ourselves to us and then empower ourselves to go out and create it. From a sense of, I don't need this because I can have it right now, but I want this, which is very, very different. And the more that we do this work, the more that we play with our brains, the more that we start thinking about who though do I want to become, the more that we get to really reap the reward of creating that thing, but also enjoy the experience of creating it. Because yes, when you create the thing that you want to create, you will feel good for a moment. But then you will once again be in the state of feeling somewhat unfulfilled. And that's normal and okay. But what I see as being the big reinvention is understanding that that day-to-day life that you're living right now, that is where we actually want to focus, because that's the majority of your reality, right? That's where you spend your time. That's where you spend most hours of most days. So while working towards the goal is phenomenal, or it can be, getting the goal is a minor piece of this puzzle. It's a small piece. And once we start recognizing that, then we can start really evolving. We can start reinventing ourselves into the person that is present in their day-to-day life, that is focused on creating enjoyable experiences in their everyday life, that is focused on bringing qualities in that they want to have and infusing them into themselves right now. So as always, I like to leave this podcast with the ability for you to take this work further. And what I will say is that, first of all, you can come follow me on Instagram. I changed my Instagram handle. So it's the Neurodivergent CEO. Or book a strategy call with me, because I know that this can get muddy and it can be hard and it can be hard to see. And one of my superpowers is helping give you clarity. And when I give you that clarity, I can also share with you how we can work together to create this for you so that your day-to-day life is amazing. Not just okay, not just like I hope I get through it until I get to go on vacation. But like my day-to-day life is what gives me purpose and meaning. Okay, my friend, that is what I've got for you. So don't forget, you can go to my website, amandahess.ca, to book that strategy call. And otherwise, I will see you here next time for part 3. Bye. Hey, I am so glad that you are here. Are we friends on Instagram? Make sure you come find me at Fuck Your Disorder. And if you love this podcast, can you please do me a favor and leave me a rating and review? Every single one helps this podcast reach more women just like you.